remain standing for prayer. Lord Jesus, that reading we've just heard reminds us that it is you before whose judgment seat we must all stand. So because of your words, may we be made more careful, more watchful and more prayerful, and help us so to judge ourselves in this life, we may be able to stand before you, the Son of Man, on that last day. Amen. Please be seated. Well, just back in October, there's the warnings about Hurricane Sandy. And the warning came to those who were in the area affected, which was a big area, that they needed to make a choice as to how they responded to the warning. And after that hurricane hit, there were a number of interviews on the television and elsewhere, and people said things like this: I didn't see it coming. Or I should have listened to the warnings. And for some, because they weren't ready, the consequences were terrible. There was put out on radio and television and through computer systems the following public information statement: National Weather Service, Mount Holly, NJ, Sunday, October 28th. An extremely dangerous storm to impact the area. Sandy is expected to slam into the New Jersey coast later Monday night, bringing very heavy rain and damaging winds to the region. The storm is a large one, therefore do not focus on the exact center of the storm, as all areas will have significant impacts. This has potential to be a historic storm, with widespread wind damage and power outages inland and coastal flooding and massive beach erosion. The combination of heavy rain and prolonged wind will create the potential for long-lasting power outages and serious flooding. And then there are some important notes which were given as what people should do. Note one: if you are being asked to evacuate a coastal location by state and local officials, please do so. Two: if you're reluctant to evacuate and you know someone who rode out the 62 storm on the Barrier Islands, ask them if they could do it again. Three: if you're reluctant, think about your loved ones. Think about the emergency responders who will be unable to reach you when you make the panicked phone call to be rescued. Think about the rescue recovery teams who will rescue you if you're injured, or recover your remains if you do not survive. Four: Sandy is an extremely dangerous storm. There'll be major property damage, injuries, and probably unavoidable, but the goal is zero fatalities. Five: if you think the storm is overhyped, exaggerated, please err on the side of caution. We wish everyone in harm's way all the best. Stay safe. Well, the storm came in, Hurricane Sandy. It was a 900-mile-long megastorm, 400 miles wide, and 70 to 80% of one city went under water. 121 people died because they ignored the very clear warnings as to what they should do. Well, our Bible reading today, which Bob read, foretells the destruction of Jerusalem and also speaks of Jesus' return in glory at the end of the age. The terrible ruin of Jerusalem happened in AD 70, and then the triumphant return of Jesus. Jesus outlines for us the general character of the events surrounding his return and the attitude we should adopt in the face of this mighty climax to human history. The Son of Man coming with the clouds, with power and great glory. And looking at this reading this last week at home, myself, and thinking about it, it reminds me about the sort of person I should be, which too often I'm not. And the first thing I'd suggest we should be is expectant. In connection with the fall of Jerusalem, which took place in AD 70, Jesus gave a warning sign. When you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you will know that its desolation is near. And now in a similar way, in connection with his final coming, his return in glory and to judge, Jesus speaks of signs which will herald the event. In the period between his ascension and his return, Jesus mentions a variety of signs. And some are like the hazard warning lights, warning of dangers along the way. Things like false Christs coming. But then in our reading we had read just now, it's not the hazard of warning lights, for now the sign says, as it were, end of motorway, 500 yards. The last sign is flashing up the fact that history has reached its destination. Listen to the words of Jesus again. There'll be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what's coming on the world. The heavenly bodies will be shaken. And just as at Jesus' birth, and when he died on the cross, there were both earthly and heavenly signs, so at the end of history there will also be earthly and heavenly signs as world history closes. And we're told the world will be thrown into a state of fainting, terror and apprehension. And in the fullest sense, it's not just international trouble or church trouble, it's world trouble. But actually, though it brings fear to some, and many will be enveloped in fear and foreboding, we remind at that time all will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. An event spoken of over 300 times in the New Testament, return of Jesus. We do know what is happening when there are signs in the sun, moon and stars, when the nations of the earth are in anguish and perplexity, when there is the roaring and tossing of the sea, and the heavenly bodies are shaken. And even before the final end of a road sign, we must guard against pushing Jesus' return into the distant future. As Jesus, as Advent Sunday reminds us, is ever at our doors. And to believe in his return is to live lives of expectancy, aware that the Son of Man is assuredly coming with power and great glory. I've asked myself, have you asked yourself, are you truly expectant? We should be, as we think about the coming of Christ. The second thing which we should be, which when you think about the enormity of what's going on may be surprising, is we should be confident. At the end, while non-Christians are hopelessly awaiting the final disaster, Christian believers will look forward not just with expectancy, but also with confidence as to what God will do. When these things, verse 28, begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. If you do that, as England comes to believe in a rugby match, how much more so this cosmic, eternal event? Creation groans, as Paul puts it in Romans, but actually we know we await the final deliverance from sin, suffering and death. And that's a vital part of the Christian hope. When these things begin to take place, stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Emil Brunner died in the 70s. He was a brilliant Swiss theologian, and his books are still on reading lists for students and in Reading universities all around the world. He says this about the return of Christ. Faith in Jesus without the expectation of his return is a check that's never cashed, a promise that's not made in earnest. A faith in Christ without expectation of his personal return is like a flight of stairs that leads nowhere but ends in the void. Jesus Christ is as much the object of our hope as of our faith. At that time they'll see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. The cloud's a symbol of God's very presence, his very being, reminding us of Jesus' identity. And just as a fig tree, a common image to any Jew, because the fig tree was symbolic of Israel, just as that gives away what's happening as it sprouts, as it does also to other trees, so we can be ready, because there are the signs as to what is going to happen. And those who are actually seeing these events appear are those who are there at the end time, I believe, of history. I think we get infected, don't we, with a sceptical spirit. We don't remember, we don't recall all we're told about return of Jesus. I wonder, are we men and women who are going to be this week expectant? Are we men and women who are also confident because we know the one who's winding up history? And then finally, a reminder to us also to ask ourselves, how are we living? Are we being vigilant? You see that print off from the internet of that storm warning? It caught many people unawares. They carried on as if it didn't really matter, just normally doing the normal things. And then to some it was with enormous loss as that colossal storm, that mega storm, came in. Are we ourselves vigilant? And here is Jesus' words: be careful, for your hearts be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxiety of life. And that day will close on you unexpectedly, like a trap. For it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Nobody will escape. The whole earth will be confronted with that day. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that's about to happen. That you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Are your eyes in the future, or are you preoccupied with things in the present? There's so much selfish indulgence in pleasure, or self-centered preoccupation with work or hedonism. And Jesus says that's poor preparation for the Lord's return. If today was a day for each of us, how would that day find ourselves? Not dulled by careless living and drinking or a foolish pursuit of pleasure, but looking ahead to Christ's return. Martin Luther, who brought the Bible back to Europe, in a very large way, was a very sort of rough Germanic speaker. And some of his phrases are extremely blunt. And I came across one quotation of his some years ago, and it really puts us on the spot. And Luther says this: Christ designed that the day of his coming should be hid from us, that being in suspense, we might be, as it were, upon the watch. Are we careful? Are we watching? Are we praying? That day will be in vain if we've not prepared in advance. And so may each of us in this Advent season, as we look towards Christmas, also have cosmic confidence, but be individuals who are expectant, who are confident in our daily living, are vigilant. May God make us people who one day gather with the saints around the world to welcome our King. Amen.